Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam. Dear listeners, Radio Sai continues its weekly presentation of the talking book version of Mr. Howard Moffat's highly acclaimed book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. The author was among the very early Westerners who came to Satya Sai Baba as a skeptic in 1964, and drawn by his enigma, he stayed for considerable periods of time near him in the next 6 years. During this period, he conducted extensive research and probing investigations into the Sai phenomena. He published his findings as the book that has become a classic of Sai literature, often considered the primer which introduced Sri Satya Sai Baba to millions round the world. This book was first published in 1971. Since then, it has been instrumental in drawing millions of seekers to the loving path of Satya Sai. These readings, dear listeners, are being aired every week, and if you wish to revisit a chapter at any time, you can do so at our website radiosai.org. So dear listeners, welcome now to Sai Baba, Man of Miracles by Howard Moffat.
Sai Ram, and welcome to Radio Sai's Talking Book Session. This is a presentation of select excerpts from Mr. Howard Moffat's book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. We have completed the first 6 chapters so far. Today, we will be going over Chapter 7, entitled Echoes from the Early Years. This segment of the book begins with a profound quote from Sri Aurobindo. Quote, "The spirit shall look out through matter's gaze, and matter shall reveal the spirit's face," unquote. In the previous chapter, we heard about the mysterious similarities between the two Sais. Today's presentation contains the author's account of the pristine echoes from the early years of Satya Sai, as described to him by a few well-known and close devotees. One day, when devotees had gathered at the Karnam house to have Swami's darshan, the amount of food cooked for the gathering threatened to be totally inadequate. Let us listen to how Swami saved the day.
A lady who used to help the devoted Subhama in those early days describes the ritual Baba used for this. When quietly informed that the food was not sufficient, he would ask for 2 coconuts. Coconuts are always considered important items for religious ceremonials in India. He would strike one against the other so that they both broke exactly in half, and then he sprinkled the coconut water on the little heaps of rice and the vessels containing the other items, and gave the signal to proceed with the task of serving all who had come, or who might yet come before dusk. There was always plenty for everyone.
Mr. Moffat's narration of the various experiences of the devotees he had met in Puttaparthi during those days may come across as very normal to the listeners who are in the know of Bhagwan's divinity, but for the rest, it holds more significance. Mr. Moffat personally verified and double-checked the instances that were narrated to him. Here are a few.
The long-standing devotees whom I met proved to be an inspiring aspect of my research on this great miracle man. They are not, as some readers might suspect, uneducated, fanatical, vague, or visionary. On the contrary, they are well-educated, rational, practical citizens of the kind whose integrity and reliability would be accepted in any court of law. I needed to assure myself of such things, as I assure the reader now, because at the time I gathered some of the stories in this book, I had not yet personally experienced much of the type of phenomena they describe. Now I have seen so much that my attitude has completely changed. The miraculous has become familiar. Most of the old devotees have given me permission to use their names, placing the cause of truth and their belief in the transcendental powers of Sai Baba above all other considerations. In this chapter are some sample stories told by men and women who have known Satya Sai since the 1940s. Mr. P. Parthasarathy is a well-known businessman of Madras, being part owner of a company connected to shipping. He told me that he first met Sai Baba in 1942 when the latter came to Madras to stay at the home of a neighbor of his. Soon after that, he and other members of his family went to Puttaparthi. He stayed there a whole month and witnessed Baba's levitation up the hill to the wish-fulfilling tree, seeing both a bright halo of flame around the young Sai's head and a shaft of light from his forehead between the eyes. He says, all the time in those days, Baba was full of laughter and fun. He would sing songs, and many times a day he would perform some miracles, often as a prank, such as making a clock run backwards or holding people to their seats by some invisible force. At picnics, he would tap empty dishes, and when the lids were removed, dishes would be full of food, sometimes hot as if straight from the kitchen. I have also seen him multiply small amounts of food to feed big crowds. These outings were very happy events always. Often Baba would turn some wild tree at hand into our Kalpataru tree. Any fruit we liked to name would be picked from its branches. Mr. Parthasarathy had been suffering from asthma for many years, and soon after his arrival at Puttaparthi, Baba materialized an apple with a wave of his hand and told him to eat it as a cure. He has never had another attack of asthma in the quarter century since that day. But he says that the most important miracle of those early experiences was connected with his mother. She was completely blind with cataracts when the family first met Sai Baba. His treatment of her was simple as the paste of clay and spittle that Christ used on a blind person. Baba put jasmine petals on the woman's eyes and held them in place with a bandage. Each day he changed them for fresh ones and at the same time insisted that she should go daily to the bhajan. This went on for 10 days, and when he took the bandage off for the last time, she was able to see again quite clearly. She lived for 10 years after that, Mr. Parthasarathy told me, and had no more trouble with her sight. Mr. G. Venkatamuni was a leading figure in the fertilizer business in Madras when I used to talk to him about his early experiences with Sai Baba. Unfortunately, he has since died. But his son Ishwara, also a devout devotee, carries on the same family business. Baba, when in Madras, always stays at least part of his time at the Venkatamuni home. An honest, matter-of-fact person, Mr. Venkatamuni, far from exaggerating, was inclined towards understatement in all his descriptions. This I found out when I checked some of his stories with other witnesses present at the time. I give here just one or two of the many incredible experiences he had with Baba as he told them to me. In the year 1944, he began hearing strange stories about a wonder boy in a village of Andhra Pradesh, the state from which his own ancestors had come. He decided to go and see for himself what truth there was in the stories. On the day of Venkatamuni's arrival at Puttaparthi, Satya Sai, then 17 years old, took him with a small party to the sands of the river. As they sat there talking, Baba put his hand in the sand and took out a handful of sweets, distributing them among the party. They were hot, said Mr. Venkatamuni, as if just out of an oven. I had to let them cool before I could eat them. From this he knew that what he had seen was no mere sleight of hand trick. He stayed on at the village, hoping to see further wonders. His hopes were more than fulfilled, he said, and he described the same copious stream of marvels witnessed by the early devotees. I was young then, Mr. Venkatamuni said, and it was all great fun. I used to go swimming with Sai Baba and the other young men, and it was then that I saw Samku Chakram on the soles of his feet. What is that? I inquired. It is a circular mark, you might call it a birthmark. Hindus believe it's one of the signs of an avatar. A well-known and highly honored citizen of Madras, who confirms what others have said about Baba's early miracle phase, is Mr. Y. Hanumanta Rao. This man, now retired, was Transport Commissioner of Madras Presidency, which then included part of the present state of Andhra Pradesh, when he first met Sai Baba in 1946. The relationship between Baba and this grand old philanthropist and his wife is a moving story involving aspects other than the early miracles and pranks of the fun-loving Sai. I will tell it in another chapter where it belongs, but here I want to mention an interesting little story that may throw light on the modus operandi behind at least some of Baba's phenomenon production. Both Mr. and Mrs. Hanumanta Rao have often told me about the wonderful celestial quality of those early Sai Baba years when he used to drive with them in their car, how he would sing beautiful songs and ask them to name whatever food they wanted and whatever out-of-season fruit they fancied. Then with some gesture, he would produce instantaneously the things they had requested. And how, when he stayed in their house, he was as natural, spontaneous and carefree as a child, and yet seemed to have the power to command with his will all the forces of the three worlds. Once they said, on the birthday of Lord Krishna, Baba was walking aimlessly, it seemed, about the sitting room of their Madras home. Suddenly, he turned to Mrs. Hanumanta Rao and remarked, "There are some devas, angels here, waiting to give me a bowl of sweets." As she looked, seeing nothing, he held out both hands and took from the air, as if from some invisible person, a large carved glass bowl. The bowl seemed suddenly to materialize. Baba handed it to Mrs. Hanumanta Rao. It was filled, as they described it, with divine tasting sweets of many varieties from different parts of India. After this incident, Satya Sai asked for an apron. When it was brought, he put it on and began singing lullaby songs. He acted the part of a nursemaid carrying the baby Krishna and soothing it to sleep. Then from the folds of the apron, he took a carved sandalwood idol of Krishna, which had certainly not been there or anywhere else in the house before. Mr. and Mrs. Hanumanta Rao showed me, when I visited them, the glass bowl and the Krishna statuette, two treasured items brought long ago into the home of the transport commissioner by some mysterious method known only to the young Satya Sai. But it seems from his remark that he has beings of another plane of existence under his command for such transportations.
Mrs. Nagamani Purnia, the widow of a government district transport officer and the mother of the popular novelist Kamala Taylor, also helped Mr. Murfitt fill out a mental picture of the early period of Satya Sai. Here's what the author recounts of the miracles she had witnessed.
A man and his wife came to stay at Puttaparthi. Nagamani observed the man had a bulbous, tremendously swollen stomach. He spent all his time lying down, either in his room near the old mandir or outside in the open. She heard that he was not able to eat anything or even take coffee. She went to Baba and asked him to cure the man. But the days passed and nothing happened, so she said again, "Please do something for that poor man, Baba." He smiled and answered, "Do you think the place is a hospital?" Then one evening, all the devotees were going with Baba to the sands of the riverbed. It was not a very large party, and each of the women decided to take some item of food for a picnic. Nagamani took the coffee. She also left a pot of water on an outside wood fire not far from the mandir. With this warm water, she said, she was hoping to bathe Baba's feet on their return from the sands. At the riverbed, they all had a wonderful time singing songs. Baba told them beautiful stories about the gods, occasionally producing some appropriate object from the sand. All this kept their spirits at a high level, so that when three wild cheetahs came near them to drink at the stream, they felt no fear whatever. The cheetahs seemed to regard them as friends and went about their business unperturbed. When they returned to the mandir, Nagamani went to stir up the fire under the pot, and Baba disappeared into the room of the sick man. After a while, he came running towards the fire, asking her for some warm water to wash his hand. She looked and saw that his right hand was all red. "Have you been painting or something?" she asked in fun. "It's blood," he replied. Then, peering closer in the fading light, she saw that he carried in the blood-smeared hand something that looked like a dirty-colored ball of old banana leaf. This he tossed away and then washed the blood from his hand in the water she gave him. "Well," he said teasingly, "you've been insisting that I turn this place into a hospital, so I have just done the necessary operation on the man." Was he joking? She had seen blood and something horrible that he had thrown away. Had he removed a growth from the man? Sai Baba, apparently reading the queries in her mind, handed her a roll of cotton wool and said, "Take this and help the man's wife put a fresh bandage on him." She went to the door but remained outside. She wanted very much to see what had happened but somehow felt afraid to go in. Presently, Sai Baba came and took her into the room. The man was still lying down, his wife sitting beside him. Baba went and pulled up the man's shirt to show her the operation. There was no bandage, but across the stomach was a thin mark, like a cut that had already healed, and the stomach was no longer large and swollen. Both the man and woman were looking silently at Sai Baba as if he were God. No word was spoken. Baba led Nagamani out again and finally permitted her to bathe his feet. Next morning, dying to know just what had taken place, she returned to inquire about the health of the patient. He was sitting up, eating a hearty breakfast. He told her that Sai Baba had come into the room on the previous evening and, waving his hand, produced from the air a knife and some other instrument. Next, he produced some ash and rubbed it on the sufferer's forehead. This seemed to act as an anesthetic because the man lost consciousness and knew no more until the operation was over. And Baba was telling him that all was well. The cut had felt just a little sore, but now it was quite normal. Nagamani wanted to know how it had healed so quickly. The wife told her that Baba had simply held the opening together with his fingers and it had healed up immediately. Then he had smeared some vibhuti on the wound, held his hand there for a while, assured the patient that he would be all right, and left. Nagamani realized that Baba's instructions to her the evening before about a bandage were simply to give her an excuse for going to see the patient. She was surprised that he had been pleased to satisfy her curiosity, but perhaps it was because she had shown concern for the sick man. She felt no amazement, only awe at the discovery of this new wonder. Nothing Baba ever did surprised her anymore. Everything simply added to her profound love of him.
Volumes can be spoken about Swami and his miracles, but for today, we will have to end with this. Till we meet the next time, all the best and Jai Sai Ram. You have been listening to a presentation of excerpts from Mr. Howard Murfitt's book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. This book has been published in 1971 by Frederick Miller Limited in London.